Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Before I begin the content of this program, let me just encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. Renewalministries.net. We have a new website, and I think you would find it worth your time to scan it and to just see what is offered there, what's available for you there. We all need tools in which to grow. Listening to this program can be a part of a tool, but we need tools to help us to mature, to help us to really grow. Because if it's the same old, so to speak, we end up not really allowing God and His Word to penetrate our hearts. We just, in a certain sense, go through the motions. We go to Mass, on Sundays, we go on the holy days, we go to confession maybe once a year, and we feel like I am a good Catholic. Well, that can work that way. But most of us don't realize how affected and infected we are by the culture around us. And that as the culture gets worse, and it is getting steadily worse, as the culture gets worse around us, we need more time with the Lord, more time with His Word, so that we can both have a clear head, that we can see what's going wrong, we can acknowledge it, we can point to it, and we can turn ourselves in another direction. We really do need to take personal responsibility here. Because you can't drift in this culture. There's nothing neutral about it. It's moving very steadily away from God. And you need to take a look. I do too. We need to take a look at what are the things in place in my life that help keep me on track. And what are the things in my life that if I allow them to take a more prominent place in my life could lead me astray? And be very clear about that. What movies do I watch? What do I watch on television? What do I watch and listen to on the internet? Those things are very, very important because they affect us. They affect us sometimes in ways that we don't even acknowledge. But when we're tempted then to something, we're more prone to give in to the temptation because in a certain sense, our senses have been dulled by what we're watching or by what we're listening to. So you don't have to hide yourself in a cave on a mountain. Though some days I'd like to do that. But what we need to do is really be vigilant. Be vigilant. Remember, you have an immortal soul that's going to live forever. And you want your life to be lived in such a way that union with God is the fruit of it. That's the only place where you're going to be eternally happy because we were made for God. So I really urge you as you listen to this program and throughout the weeks as you listen to this program, take stock. You don't have to do a whole lot of things. Just make some decisions that get you more into the light, shall we say, and out of the darkness. The first reading for today's liturgy is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, during these years there shall be no dew or rain except at my word." The Lord then said to Elijah, "Leave here, go east, and hide in the Wadi Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the stream, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there." So Elijah was quite a prophet. Elijah is coming against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he's being very clear about what needs to happen. And he's telling the leader here what's going to happen. During those years, these years, there shall be no dew nor rain except at my word. That's quite a promise in a sense. It's quite a condemnation. The Lord then said to Elijah, "Leave here, go east, and hide in the Wadi Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the stream, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there." So God provides for him. So he left and did as the Lord had commanded. He trusted in the Lord's promises. Do you trust in the Lord's promises as are revealed to us in Scripture? Do you trust in them? Or do you put more trust in yourself? Where's your trust? So he left and did as the Lord commanded. He went and remained by the Wadi Cherith east of the Jordan. Ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the stream. In other words, God provided for him in all his human needs. God provided for him. Think about that. Think about the trust that that took. Elijah was told where to go. Who was going to be there? How was he going to get what he needed? Look how God provided. When we obey God, there is always blessing. Psalm 121, "Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And that's it, brothers and sisters. Yes, God can provide for us through other people, through other circumstances, of course, but God is the source. The conduit may be a person or a means of some kind, but the source is God. So our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. "I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. Whence shall help come to me? My help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Takes faith, doesn't it? Because we can't see. Can't see God acting. We can't see what God's going to do. We're not sure how God is going to answer our prayer. It takes faith. "May he not suffer your foot to slip. May he slumber not who guards you. Indeed, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, the guardian of Israel. The Lord is your guardian, the Lord is your shade. He is beside you at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your life." Doesn't mean God's going to give you everything you want. But if you put all your trust in him, he will guard you from all evil. He will guard your life, not only for time, but for eternity. "The Lord will guard your coming and your going, both now and forever." Have you really put yourself in the hands of the Lord? When we really trust him, it becomes, in a sense, a mark of holiness. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek.'" You know, the definition of meek is strength under control. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely, because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When we get persecuted, brothers and sisters, stand up. Be confident your God is with you. Your God will help you. Persecutors may do their worst, but God will help you. God wants us to put our trust in him, actively put our trust in him. Pay attention. One of the proverbs here that I want you to have in mind, blessed are the poor in spirit. That means that I'm trusting God more than I'm trusting myself, more than I'm trusting others, more than I'm trusting what the earth, so to speak, provides. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I put all my trust in him. Blessed are they who mourn, not only mourning the death of others, not only mourning our own sorrows and our own difficulties, but blessed are they who mourn their sin. Blessed are they who are sorry for their sin, who in a way grieve for their sin. Do you really mourn over your sin? You should. I think the others are very clear. But Jesus says, rejoice and be glad when these things happen to you, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Bishop Sheen, who's now gone to be with the Lord, said this, and I quote from Magnificat magazine, our Lord came to correct an exaggerated justice which knew no mercy. Exaggerated justice is wrong. Because if we put all our eggs in the basket of justice and do not either receive or show mercy, we're not where the Lord is. Mercy, he reminded us, was something more than a sentimental, emotional tenderheartedness. The very word mercy is derived from the Latin miserum cor, which means a sorrowful heart. Mercy is therefore a compassionate understanding of another's unhappiness. Listen to that definition, a compassionate understanding of another's unhappiness. A person is merciful when he feels the sorrow and misery of another as if it were his own. Disliking misery and unhappiness, the merciful person seeks to dispel the misery of his neighbor just as much as he would if the misery were his own. That is why whenever mercy is confronted not only with pain but with sin and wrongdoing, it becomes forgiveness, which not merely pardons but helps to rebuild into justice, repentance, and love. Mercy is a compassion that seeks to unburden the sorrows of others as if they were our own. Listen to that again and apply this to the Beatitudes. Mercy is a compassion that seeks to unburden the sorrows of others as if they were our own. Brothers and sisters, pay heed. This is the year of mercy. Are you extending mercy? Mercy is a compassion that seeks to unburden the sorrows of others as if they were our own. And Bishop Sheen says, but if we have no such compassion, then how can compassion ever come back to us? Ponder that, brothers and sisters. And God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.